November the 4th, 2015, for another edition of the Ted Brewer Show. Austin Brewer is my co-host, as always. And we're going to start off with your story today, Austin. We've got one that's so ridiculous, and it's so the way we are now in the United States that we have to start with this one. Go ahead. What's that first story, Oz?
Okay, yeah, this one, it just, I wanted to let everybody know, just get some information out there, to how ridiculous this is getting, especially in the public school system. On Monday, the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights is now saying that a disguised boy has been discriminated against because he is not allowed to shower naked with girls. All right, that's the line at the top. I'll let you know the rest of it now. Federal education authorities found Monday that an Illinois school district violated anti-discrimination laws when it did not allow a transgender student who identifies himself as a girl. Notice how it says identifies. And to shower in the girls' locker room without restriction. The education department gave 30 days to the officials of Township High School District 211 to reach a solution or face enforcement. The Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Education told the Palatine District that requiring a transgender student to use private changing and shower facilities was a violation of that student's right under Title IX of federal law that bans sex discrimination. And what's even crazier here is John Knight, the director of LGBT, which most of you know what that is, and HIV, he states, "What our client wants is not hard to understand. She wants to be accepted for who she is and be treated with dignity and respect. I don't know what's worse, the fact that they're referring to a boy that's confused as a she, or the fact that they're not even considering the fact that there's females in this locker room that I'm sure do not want another male showering them with them, even if he is confused. He has full intact male genitalia. He is not a female. He has not had a conversion. He is a boy that is gay, that is now stating he's a girl and wants full access to the showers, bathrooms, and locker rooms of all the girls in the high school and to be treated as such." I don't even know what else I can say about it, Deb. That's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think he's gay. I just think he's messed up. And what's the whole thing about it is this. You know, I remember when I was at Florida State University, we had a gym up there in Tallahassee. It was in the bottom of Tully Gym, which is still there right next to the football stadium. And Tully Gym had this pit of a gym to work out, and it was absolutely awful. It was back in the mid-70s, and Florida State had not yet come to the understanding that students would like to have a nice place to train. And this place literally had wooden floors with splinters. It had antiquated equipment, but it's all they had. And they had a universal machine in the women's locker room, and this was in Tully Gym. In the men's locker room was this weight room. It was in the locker room, and the only thing that separated the gym from the showering facilities was chain link fence that was like 12 feet tall. And so what would happen is, we'd go in there and work out in this cage, basically is what it was. And, you know, and there's no AC at all. Forget the AC. There was no AC. There was a fan. So, I mean, in the summertime with the showers going and this place in there, this thing would literally get to be 100 degrees. Didn't have to do much cardio because you sweat so much. It was actually a good place to work out. It really was. No, it was a great place because you got warmed up so fast. You never tore any muscles or anything because as soon as you hit the first weight, you were dripping wet and sweat. And nobody cared. And it was all guys. And all of a sudden, a bunch of girls on campus got all mad and said that we don't want to use our girls' facility because we don't want to use the universal machine. We want to use the free weights. And now remember, it's a chain-link fence between the showers and the gym. And I remember they came in there and they said something to us about it one day. They said, well, you know, the girls want to use this facility too. And, you know, and none of us are gay, right? We're all like real heterosexual guys in their training. The gay movement really hadn't come upon us at that point. And I just looked at them and I started laughing. And I said, so they want to see me walking around naked in here. And remember, I wasn't saved yet. I wasn't a born-again Christian yet. And I just started laughing. And I said, I don't have a problem with that. Maybe they'll see something they like. Go on a date with one of them. And that was my attitude. And when I see these poor kids now who have been completely chemically castrated with bisphenol A, chemically castrated with soy products, chemically castrated with all the female hormones that are put into the milk supply, 90% reduction in sperm counts in men in the United States in some areas. And you see all of this stuff, and you get these kids that have right brain chemistry that think they're little girls, who basically should be a left brain dominant hemisphere male, who have small genitalia, who are embarrassed to be in the boys' shower room, who want to be a girl, who are completely confused because their parents have told them how great that is. When you see that, you got to feel sorry for these kids because they didn't sign up for this crap. And that's the truth. And this kid, obviously, I don't think is gay because he wants to be a girl. And it's just, the whole thing is just weird. The whole thing is just weird. It's messed up. It's a sign of the times. And I know as Christians, we're supposed to say, well, that's a sin. They're going to go to hell. I got that. Okay, you don't have to tell me the verse, Bible verse. I know it's in Romans. It's also in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. But here's the problem. I think we need to have mercy on these kids, and we need to make them and realize that it wasn't their choice that they were chemically castrated in utero. When a woman doesn't produce sufficient quantities of testosterone and exogenous estrogens are introduced into the birth cycle, the child is chemically castrated. Like I said, the genitalia don't develop properly. The left brain dominant hemisphere doesn't develop properly. The boy wants to go shopping with girls all the time. He's very artsy, craftsy, and it's just a mess. The whole thing's a giant mess, and that's what we've gotten ourselves into in the United States now, where men are no longer men. We got a bunch of slack-jawed guys that are running around acting like they're castrated with no testosterone, and that's what one of the reasons that the United States is in the shape that it's in. And every generation is becoming progressively more feminized until we're going to get a unisex someday in which we don't have to worry about reproduction. They'll do it in a test tube for us, and that's where it's headed. And so this is just the beginning of more to come. Should this little boy be allowed to shower with girls? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If that little kid's embarrassed or whatever, he should be allowed to go into the doggone private area of the locker room and do whatever he needs to do as far as taking a shower, but he should not be allowed to be able to go in there with other girls who have no say-so whatsoever. Nobody asked them their opinion. Plus, I remember I got an email today, and it was a picture of John Wayne, and it was funny. It said, just because a man cuts off his penis doesn't make him a girl. What it makes him is somebody is a man who was stupid enough to cut off his penis. and basically, that's about the whole center of this. I mean, we've got a bunch of kids that are gender confused. Hollywood's promoting it all of the time. The hormones, the chemicals in the food supply are forcing it on a lot of children. And Austin, it's a giant, giant mess. I know you and I, there's a local Christian college over there. The guys run around wearing jeans that girls wear. They act extremely feminized, and a lot of that's because we've lost the two household families in which the man no longer is there to provide a role model example for the girl, for the boys. And so you end up with a dominant mother figure with a little boy with no father figure, and that boy has a tendency to gravitate towards that mother and act like her because he still wants his father to be around and he's not, so he gets attracted to other men. I've seen it over and over and over again, and the sad part about it is it was done to us on purpose. With the dissolution of the family, this is what the Rothschild Sabatain boys wanted to do to us a long, long time ago because they want to get rid of the men in the United States. So this is a very complex problem that has a lot of multiple variables in it. So we have to realize these kids didn't sign up to be chemically castrated, Oz. They really didn't. And folks that are listening to me, don't get all mad at me and send me letters because I'm misquoting all this because I'm not. This is what happens from a biochemical standpoint, and I find it repugnant. But I also find it repugnant that they're doing this to us and doing this to these kids. And the kids didn't sign up for this. Nobody ever signed up to want to be a transgender. Maybe except for maybe Bruce Willis, that unbelievable nightmare that he turned into.
Bruce Jenner, not Bruce Willis.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce Willis. I like you, buddy. You're a good actor. But Bruce Jenner. I mean, and now they're telling us if we don't think Caitlyn Jenner is pretty, that we're a racist and we're a homophobe.
Yeah.
She looks like a guy who's in drag. Who's wearing a bunch of makeup, who's a guy. She's not pretty. I don't think she's pretty. That doesn't make me a homophobe. She's a guy who's trying to dress like a girl.
That's exactly what she is.
I'm not going to call her Caitlyn. I refuse to do that. Her name is Bruce Jenner. His name is Bruce Jenner. And whether or not I think he said he doesn't want to go ahead and cut his penis off. I don't think he wants to do that. So I don't even know what the whole deal is with him. That whole thing is just messed up, and he's being put out there as the example to the people in the United States as normal. This is the new normal. Transgender is the new normal. That's the message that we're trying to get, and that's the message these idiots in Illinois are trying to push. And the crazy thing, any state in the union that requires all motorhomes and RVs to drive 55 miles an hour on the interstate, they got some screws loose. I don't like Illinois, never have. I have no interest in going back up there again. It's awful, ridiculous. What's the next story, Oz?
Yeah, well, there's definitely the biggest thing, though, I think, you know, we were both talking about earlier is, you know, it's sad when, you know, the chemical part of this happens, but then you have the civil rights group and the Department of Education that are making it even worse, where this kid had his own private locker room. He had his own private space because, you know, if he doesn't want to shower with the boys, got that, but showering with the girls isn't an option either. So now they're trying to push it where the private changing room and private shower room isn't enough anymore. So it was just more of an agenda. Next one I wanted to talk about is...
One more comment. Maybe he's really a heterosexual guy that really likes girls, and he just wants to be in the women's shower room.
And he's played his cards really well.
Go ahead, Austin. What's the next story?
Well, next one is, I'm sure everybody always hears about this all the time, is the United States government budget, our spending is out of hand, all this stuff. And I keep reading more and more articles, and I've talked to more and more people in the military, how this just gets so out of hand, and we're spending so much money. Well, let me read it to you. The Department of Defense is at a loss right now on how to explain why an Afghan natural gas station in Afghanistan, which was budgeted to cost around $500,000, has now cost over $43 million in the entire project. The Pentagon awarded Central Asian Engineering a $3 million contract, which was still way over what it should have cost, to build a compressed natural gas automobile filling station. But they discovered now during this investigation that between 2011 and 2014, the contractor has spent nearly $40 million more and continued to get funding. And what's crazy is this, everybody talks about we need to cut back on this with the national debt, we need to cut on this. Stop wasting money. The next one is where the United States government is now spending $400,000 per helmet for the new F-35 Lightning fighter jet. Now, I guess the F-22, I don't know what happened to that. That was an incredibly expensive project. It just kind of, I don't know where it went. It just kind of stopped, I guess. So now we have the F-35 Lightning because the F-22 wasn't expensive enough. Now we have to have a $400,000 helmet. And in the budget, they said that they needed 2,400 helmets at $400,000 a piece for the new fighter jet.
I've got to interject something. Number one, on the first story that you were talking about as far as the, I'm sorry, Austin, I went blank.
Yeah, the natural gas in Afghanistan.
That whole thing, that money's not going to some gas station, okay? That's probably going to build deep underground military bunkers in a black operation, and they're funneling the money through that. This is how a lot of the black ops projects work, because there's no way you can funnel $40 million into a gas station. Secondly, do you remember a few years ago, when we went to the air show over there,
see the F-22.
We all went over to see the F-22 Raptor, and they had two of them there, and they had armed security guards all around them with machine guns. You couldn't get within 100 yards of them, and it was so funny. They had them all cordoned off. So the one they take off with the one, it goes down the runway kind of loping, craziest thing you've ever seen, and suddenly he hits the afterburners. The thing goes vertical, like 50 feet above the runway. We feel the blast, you know, 500, 600 feet away from the blast of the engines. The thing takes off like a rocket ship, goes straight up, gets up to about 2,000 feet and breaks down. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Stale. You know, just had to float around, hover.
He started doing circles, and he immediately landed. All these red lights lit up on his dashboard. The plane was grounded. That part of the air show was over. And I remember you and I just started laughing. You know, whatever, hundreds of millions of dollars to build this airplane. It can't even do an air show, much less fight in combat. And then they find out that the thing was so complicated, it was recycling some type of exhaust gas into the mask of the pilots, and the pilots were all passing out, and they couldn't figure out how to put scrubbers on it to make the gas company clean up. So that basically thing got grounded. This is so stupid. The F-18, the F-15, these are phenomenal aircrafts, okay? They didn't need to be upgraded with hundreds of millions of dollars in these new planes and $500,000 helmets. It's the stupidest thing. But, of course, what that helmet's going to be, it'll probably be a new brain interface helmet in which it'll be by thought. And so that's probably what they're working on as far as either putting chips inside of the person's brain or actually putting, like, the pilot's going to have, like, the helmet will be, like, part of a giant implant. It'll be part of a big video game up in the sky, I guess. But the nuttiest thing is, you're absolutely right, Austin. Our technology goes so far beyond the internal combustion jet engine like it is. It goes way past this. We're beyond that. We have anti-gravity propulsion already. There's absolutely no reason to go in and build these types of aircraft, these incredible price tags, just to see how they're going to work. What do we end up building, 20 or 30 of the F-22s? Now, they've been permanently grounded until the Charlie tried to...
Oh, yeah, they were $412 million per plane.
But I tell you what, though, dude, when that came, when he hit those afterburners and that thing went vertical 50 feet off the ground, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my whole life. And I've flown a P-51 Mustang. I thought that was cool. This was the real deal. This was something that I've never seen before, and we'll probably never see again because they don't fly anymore. But so you got 30 or 40 of those things floating around $500 million a piece. I mean, when's enough enough? How many of these things do we need? And, you know, why do we sell so much of this armament to our neighbors and to the Chinese and to the Russians and everybody else around who wants one of these planes? And then let them turn around and start shooting down our stuff with it. And the other thing I want to know is now Obama's sending a dozen or so air-to-air fighters into Syria that are not made for ground attacks. They're carrying air-to-air missiles on them. They're made for dogfights. What the heck's that all about? Are we just trying to go over there and say, hey, Russia, we've got a plane that we don't think you can not blow out of the sky? This whole thing is complete provoking World War III, or at least trying to make us think that they are. Here's another interesting thing. This article is going to blow everybody's mind. Angela Merkel, you know, she's probably just completely senile, okay? Because the things that she's doing right now is almost beyond the scope. Not only is she ugly, she's got to be senile, bless her heart. She said, she said, here's her latest article from the Associated Press. Angela Merkel says, we must hit climate target to avoid refugee waves. Angela Merkel says we must do everything it can do, the world must, in an international goal to fight global warming. Arguing to do so could set off large new waves of refugees. Is she smoking crack over there in Berlin? What the heck is she saying? Is she trying to imply that these people that are coming in from all of these other countries now are because of the fact that we have a problem with global warming? Well, I got a news flash for you. They're coming from the Middle East. It's extremely warm there. They're going to Germany. It's really cold there right now, and it's fixing to get a whole lot colder. These people have never seen weather like they're fixing to go into. So we're worried about global warming, and they're going into a tundra? Complete and total nonsense. Again, more obfuscation from Merkel trying to get her countrymen to say, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be involved with all this. Because right now, some of the guys over in Germany are actually calling for a complete and total revolution in Germany and her impeachment. They are so angry. They're saying they're on the brink of civil war because of what's happening over there. In fact, this is the Russia Today said Germany is now somewhere at the edge of anarchy and sliding towards civil war, or going to become a banana republic without any government, says Hans-Jörg Müller of the Alternative for Germany Party. Bavarian official Peter Dreyer called German Chancellor Angela Merkel to tell her personally that if Germany welcomes a million refugees, his town of Landshut would only take in 1,800. Any extra would put on buses and sent directly to her chancellery in Berlin. The German people are getting pretty ticked off about this, Austin, and I don't blame them. It's ridiculous. This whole thing's ridiculous. What's your next story?
it's definitely getting out of hand. I mean, because enough is enough. I mean, if they would have done this, you know, in small, small ways, but they didn't even do that, and again, it never stops there. So it's interesting. One of the next ones is now Verizon, who pretty popular. I know you like Verizon. They are now scanning and censoring customers' emails, according to a new radio station that put out a release today. If an email contains a hyperlink to a website, the email is now going to be rejected and not sent to the recipient. I don't know when this policy is going to be implemented. But essentially, Verizon scans the digital signature of all inbound and outbound email messages to reduce the overall volume of spam on the network. So what they're saying is, under the guise of we're tired of spam, so anything with a hyperlink is basically going to get completely deleted, and the email's not even going to go through. So the guy says, what happens right here? What happens when I'm trying to send info to a colleague or sending a student a research to look at, or my wife wants to share a recipe with a friend? All these emails are now going to be rejected with Verizon. Apparently so. So we're starting to see further and further the decline of internet freedom, and eventually we're going to reach a point where we're not even going to be able to send anything or go to any website without putting in, you know, our PIN number or our ID number, and everything's going to be tracked back to us directly. So it's definitely the free internet time is over. It's coming to a close.
Well, sadly, that's probably true because, well, the problem is the Rothschild banking cartel, which controls AP Wire and also Reuters, they don't want to have alternative news sources. They want to control the narrative so they can maintain the illusion of what they're doing and maintain control over the masses. Here's another little story. Obama's secret migration plan. He's now giving work permits for millions of foreigners. This is out of Breitbart. President Barack Obama's deputies have drafted a new quasi-amnesty memo that would allow employers to quickly and cheaply get work permits to hire millions of lower-wage foreign graduates. If approved by Obama, roughly 3 million guest workers would be students and migrants, perhaps including 1.5 million college grads, would be immediately eligible for the work permits at an upfront cost of the employers of about $600 per foreign hire. But the work permit handout would have a huge economic impact on Americans, especially college graduates. Each year, roughly 800,000 American graduates from college with skilled degrees in medicine, business, science, engineering, and computers. Many cannot find jobs in their fields already, and the new plan would force them to also compete for jobs against a huge number of foreign graduates who would take lower-paying wage jobs in order of hoping of winning U.S. citizenship. I mean, unbelievable. This whole administration is the most corrupt regime I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. It's nuts.
It is, and that's what I was saying with the internet as far as where we're going with freedom and stuff too. You know, there was an article a ways back, and they were discussing how one of the options in the future, obviously it's not implemented yet, but one way that they're going to have to crack down on cybercrime and everything else is once they get a lock, once they get a handle on the internet, everybody's going to have their own personal identification number. That way there's not going to be any anonymous internet anymore. If you want to get on the internet via your phone, your computer, your iPad, you're going to have to type in your specific code, like your Social Security number. So anything you do, every website you go to, every email you open, every email you send, everything is going to be directly tracked right back to you. There will be no more anonymous surfing of the internet anymore, and that's exactly what they want. That way they can start going up and collecting dissidents, anybody that speaks, you know, anti-government, you know, don't take vaccines, Christian, non-abortion, any of that stuff. Automatically they can come to your house and say, well, we didn't like what you said on the internet the other day. They've already done it with Facebook repeatedly. We saw that with that Marine veteran last year when he put that what he put up there on Facebook about how bad Obama was and a bunch of rhetoric about that. It was whatever, it was free speech. They arrested him.
Oh yeah. Well, the Marine Corps, yeah, they're not, yeah. It's awful. It's awful. Yeah, here's another article, and it kind of gives me a little bit of, because I like Donald Trump. But he's saying something here that maybe he doesn't understand what's really going on. He must not. And it says, Trump says, this is from Truth and Media, that Yellen is not raising rates on the discount rates because Obama told her not to. Now, here's what Donald Trump said. Donald Trump, who said that he believes the Federal Reserve should raise interest rates, accused Fed Chair Janet Yellen of keeping U.S. borrowing rates artificially low to prevent a financial crisis from occurring during Barack Obama's presidency. But Yellen doesn't take orders from Obama whatsoever. She takes it from the head Rothschild boys. Janet Yellen should have raised the rate. She's not doing it because the Obama administration and the president doesn't want her to do so. And if she does, you'll see what happens. Every time there's a thought of even raising them, there's a little bit, of course, that the market crashes. Reuters reported that Trump then lamented what he described as the U.S. dollar's lack of competitiveness and said, if you look at the currency devaluations in China and Japan and many, many countries, they're making it impossible for our companies to compete with them because we don't have leaders who know how to say to China, don't do that, don't do that. We're going to put a tax on you. Remember, we have 200,000 empty containers right now in the port of L.A. that are leaving the port of L.A., 200,000 empty containers because our dollar has been pushed up so high in the world currency markets that no one can afford our stuff anymore. And, you know, our major exports before now were scrap plastic, scrap metal, and scrap paper. And now we're not even doing that anymore because of the major turndown in China. And what people need to realize is if we raise interest rates, even just a few percentage points, from 0 to 3%, what's going to happen is the bond market is going to completely collapse because everybody's going to get out of the bonds. It's going to just completely evaporate. And the bond market is much, much bigger than the stock market. So you're going to have hundreds of trillions of dollars of capital fleeing and huge drops in all of these major New York Stock Exchange corporations. You know, pretty much it's going to completely bust out the stock market. The Federal Reserve have painted themselves into a real mess. They're going to have to bring us to war like they always do in order to get this thing over with and resolved, and then they're going to have to devalue the currency or destroy the currency and say it was the war that caused it. That's how they're going to do this. There's no other way out. They've painted them so deep with this $2.4 quadrillion now in derivative debts that are in U.S. dominated the currency, the over $100 trillion in basically the legacy costs with Social Security, and the $20 trillion on the books. I mean, there's no way mathematically to pay this stuff back, and they know that. So what they're doing is they're artificially holding up the dollar right now by allowing these other countries to start printing more currency and basically flood their markets, because the dollar is still maintaining its currency reserve status as the petrodollar. And if they stop doing that, what's going to happen is the dollar is going to start falling off. That's why they're keeping gold and silver manipulated. That's why they're doing the naked shorts on the COMEX, because what they're doing, they're not settling the contracts any longer in gold or silver as far as fulfillment of gold and silver. They're doing it in fiat currency. So they're allowed to basically at this point force the gold and silver prices as low as they want, as long as they're not forced to settle the contracts in gold or silver. And see, that's what's happening with silver. That's what's happening with gold right now. It should be much, much, much higher than it is. But if it started going up like it should with this massive increase of the M1 money supply, Austin, what would happen is everybody would lose faith in the dollar and in the stock market and start selling all of their equities and their bonds. And if that happens and everybody starts fleeing into gold as an inflation hedge, the entire economy is going to completely collapse globally. And they know that. That's why they're doing everything they can to basically lie about the prices of gold and silver. In fact, the silver supply is so low right now, it's like an all-time low. It's ridiculous. I mean, I can't even believe the COMEX is even trying to do this anymore, Austin. What do you think about that?
Oh, I know. I've been telling people for the last year, especially the last 6 months, stock up on silver. There's no place that we're ever going to see silver drop low. And everybody always goes, well, it's dropped down, 14 an ounce. It's at 15, 14 an ounce. It may drop lower. I'm like, listen, you understand the raw cost on actually producing silver, getting silver ore out of the ground and bringing it up to a, sellable point is roughly about $15 an ounce, maybe a little less, maybe a little more in specific areas of the world. But this $15 an ounce, $13 an ounce spot price that we saw a couple months ago, $13.90, and see what you saw is if anybody was watching that, the prices of actual physical never came down. The premiums just went up and made a bigger gap. We had premiums for silver eagles that were like, it was like $21 an eagle, and spot price was like $13.90 when it dropped to that low. And then immediately recorrected to like $14.20. So, I mean, if you've been thinking about buying silver, if you got a little bit of extra cash here and there, right now there's no other better time, because once silver catches, I have no doubt that it's going to hit at least 100 plus an ounce minimum. We've already seen it hit almost 50 an ounce back in 2011. I mean, I watched all that when that happened. So, I mean, we know 50's already been hit. The next step's 100, especially once gold starts to revalue as well, especially if China comes out and starts stating that they're going to be paying for things in gold, especially oil. And whatever they put the price on, if they say it's going to be 20,000 an ounce for gold, that's what we'll pay for it. You know how fast people are going to sell their gold bullion? It's going to evaporate. Good luck trying to get any of it. And what's going to happen is if they do that, you're going to find out really, really quick what countries actually have physical gold in holding and who's just blowing smoke and acting like they have their vaults full and nothing's there, like the U.S.
Here's an article here. This is interesting. This is from the Sleuth Journal. And the fact is, it's just exactly what you just said. It's gold and silver. The elite's New World Order secretly operates in the open. And it says that the price suppression of gold and silver is basically completely artificial. It goes on to say, the globalist central bankers continue to muscle up the dying dollar, just like I said again a minute ago, as it wrecks the U.S. economy, just like Donald Trump said, along with that of Europe, in order to install its new fascist one world government. There's certainly no opposition to be found in the U.S. and none in Europe. It was thought that Germany would be smart enough not to let its economy be ruined by the U.S., but that satellite state, Germany, is going to be in the same mess as the United States. Germany stands to lose its strong business ties to Russia by bowing to U.S. pressure to justifiably and illegally to suppress gold and silver prices and also hold up the euro. We might add, sanction Russia and ruin Germany's economic growth. Russia simply turned to China, and it is a reasonable question to ask if Russia will need German business in the future. Merkel has done that country no favors by kneeling to the altar of political stupidity. When the manipulated markets, the globalist central bankers, are doing what they can to prop up the failing dollar, within the space of the month, the fiat dropped from 97.94 and then rallied back to 97 for no reason whatsoever, surely not one that made any sense. For as long as the chart of the sickly fiat dollar can give the appearance of health, gold and silver will not rally because they're being held down artificially. That said, anything is always possible, so gold and silver should be treated independent of this development. And the craziest thing about all of this is, you know, this is what the people have. We're turning into the Weimar Republic right now. We're turning into Argentina and all these other countries in South America. We're basically being completely and totally manipulated, and pretty soon we're going to have hyperinflation. There's no way to stop it anymore. They have to monetize the debt. The only way they can do that is with hyperinflation. The problem when that happens, unless you have tangible assets like silver, gold, land, blue chip stocks, anything like that, it's going to
be ammo.
It's going to fall apart. I mean, stored food, you know, well, all that stuff is going to have value. And so that's going to be my mom used to tell me, because she was born in 1916, she was right in the middle of that Weimar Republic when she was a little kid, and she said she remembers going to the grocery store with her daddy pushing a wheelbarrow with 4.5 billion German marks to buy one loaf of bread. 4.5 billion German dollars to buy one loaf of bread. And she said that nobody wanted the dollars anymore, and you had to run to the grocery store with the money as fast as you could, because if you waited a few hours, it might be 5.5 billion marks for the loaf of bread. And she said it was nuts. She said that the barter and that the underground economy took over, and people were basically bartering for food. And I still remember, she said they always had a garden in their yard to grow food in the spring and in the summer and the fall as long as they could, because it was more convenient to have the food there than try to find out what it's going to be worth next week in the black market barter. And I'll never forget, she always, in fact, we went back to their home in Germany, oh gosh, back in the 70s, and I remember they were still growing food in the backyard. I couldn't believe it, because they were still being concerned about what happened, because they had been burned so deeply in with the Weimar Republic. So that's where I hope the United States doesn't go. But until we get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, until we restore sound dollars, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve Act is what it was, until we get rid of that in 1913, we throw these guys out like Andrew Jackson did. It's not going to happen, because as long as you're borrowing money at interest that's never printed, the interest is never put into circulation, even if you pay all the money back, the interest can't get paid back. That's our national debt. Remember one time I talked to a national evangelist about that, and because he was ranting and raving about, where's all this money? Why do we owe all this money? And I explained it all to him, and then he goes, well, now I understand. So he did a big TV show on it, and the sad part about it, it's had a horrible, horrible, horrible response from the show, even though he was telling the truth. And the last time I checked that show had, gosh, over 100,000 views, probably closer to 500,000 by now. But that's what's going on, Austin, and people don't want to believe the truth.
No, it's completely dead on. I mean, even when you look back when the dollar, how strong it was when it was backed by metals, when you look at the old bills, like the old $5 bill, where it said $5 payable to the bearer on demand in silver, which meant your money was actually backed by something. And this isn't some new concept. This has been going on for thousands of years. Since the, you know, biblical times, silver and gold have always been used as currencies in some form of monetary way. And that's the way it has to get back to using something with intrinsic value. When you just continue to print paper for almost nothing, you have irredeemable paper currency. It's worth nothing. A $100 bill is only worth a $100 bill because the Federal Reserve is saying it's worth a $100 bill, and people still accept it as currency. When that light flip, when that switch flips, and all of a sudden that $100 bill is worth a dollar's worth of stuff, and they hyperinflate it to where, like you said, 5 million, billion marks, whatever you want to put a name on it. They put they did it in Zimbabwe, I remember that. They came out with $1 trillion bills. It was so hyperinflated over there. So, I mean, have some heavy metals. Have some silver. Have a little bit of gold. Have some ammo. Have some stuff that's going to hold some value.
And guys, Steve Quayle is a good man. I like Steve a lot. Go to his website. What's his website, Oz? SteveQuayle.com?
SteveQuayle.com. I think he does a lot of silver and gold stuff.
Yeah, but just, if you're going to buy stuff from him. I mean, we don't sell silver and gold. I mean, we don't do that. I mean, we got a little bit, you know, whatever, a few dollars here and there. But the point is, you know, we don't sell it. So, you know, you can't go to our website and buy it. So if you're going to support somebody, support a Christian. And oh, by the way, I keep forgetting to do this. This show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We sell the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. They're the same vitamins that my family, my wife and I, my kids in Austin take. We help people all over the world, help them to stabilize their blood sugar, blood chemistry. You know, it's amazing what we can do as far as just changing people's diets. We have a free newsletter. It's at healthmasters.com. We can get it three times a week, healthmasters.com, three times a week. If you're going to email us, go ahead, but make sure you read the email articles that I've already written on specific conditions like high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, etc., before you email us and ask us questions that we've already answered online. And we're here to help you and do everything we possibly can. And by the way, those of you folks who are listening to us who are customers of ours, thank you. We appreciate your business. We appreciate you. And we thank you for supporting us because we're out here. I kind of feel like I'm John Connor, the last voice of the resistance, Austin. You know, as far as it's kind of crazy, actually, because, I mean, you know, that's from the Terminator movie. You guys know who that is. And the reality is this. I mean, if we all take a stand like Austin and I are doing and do something, just do something, you know, it's going to make a huge difference. It really will. I mean, just realize that, you know, the United States as we know it is gone. Now they're putting boys in showers with girls, okay? It's gone. Norman Rockwell America is over with. I mean, that's not coming back. It's just not going to happen. But what we have to do is try to bring back and restore the Constitution to the best of our ability and expose these people in charge for who they are. Let me read you this little article here. This is from the New York Times. This is the bastion of liberalism. And it's by Pam Martin. It's a really good article. And she wrote that the New York Times discovers that the United States courts have been privatized 20 years too late. The New York Times has just completed a three-part investigation series on the evisceration across the America of the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of a right to a jury trial under the Seventh Amendment, which mandates, in suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a jury trial shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Just as the corporate prisons and corporate charter schools are proliferating across the American landscape with attendant horror stories, the doors to the nation's taxpayer-funded courts have been largely closed to the average citizen. Consumers of everything from credit cards to phone service to nursing homes cannot obtain the product or service without surrendering their access to the U.S. court system through fine print buried in corporate contract. The privatized system is referred to as pre-dispute arbitration or mandatory arbitration or forced arbitration. Many corporations impose it as a condition of employment as well. I mean, and then the Times continues to say, over the last 10 years, thousands of businesses across the country, from big corporations to just storefront shops, have used arbitration to create an alternative system of justice. Their rules tend to favor businesses, and judges and juries have been replaced by arbitrators who commonly consider the companies their clients, the Times found. I mean, and this goes on with the prison industrial complex that's going on. This has gone on with what's happened with the mortgage fraud that's taken place, in which these giant corporations committed all this fraud with mortgages, and people don't even have the right of standing to even take collection for the bills that are being due from the mortgage and the mortgage payments, but yet they're suing the homeowners. I mean, the whole thing's a mess. The entire court system in the United States has completely become corrupt. Because remember, we have a prison industrial complex in which the court has to sign these contracts. Apparently, what I've read, a lot of guys have gone to jail over this, in which they have to put so many prisoners in prison in so amount of time to keep the prisons full. And if not, there's sanctions and fines. I mean, this thing is so anti-American, anti-freedom of everything, Austin. I really don't know what do you think about this, son?
Well, no, I mean, that's why you have this, you know, mandatory minimum sentences for ridiculous crimes. Stuff like, you know, having, you know, a small amount of pot or a drug on you, you know, not even distributing or trafficking, you know, other stupid stuff where people get arrested for traffic citations. I mean, you've had the same issues I have with that, with cops around here sometimes just completely overstepping their boundaries over incidental traffic citations. And we're seeing more and more of these people that are getting arrested for doing nothing. You don't follow the demand of a police officer, all of a sudden you go to jail. And then, by the way, when you're on your way to jail, they go ahead and charge you with assault on a police officer, too, because they didn't like the way you looked at them. It's gotten out of hand, and that's exactly why we have these prisons that are just full. We have the largest prison industrial complex in the world. We have more people housed in prison than any other country. There's a reason why. And it's just, it produces income. That's why you always see these prison inmate workers working, you know, signs on the side of the road, picking up trash and doing stuff. And don't get me wrong, that's great. That's a good option. They can do stuff, help get time off. But majority of these guys did not deserve to be in prison for 4, 5, 10 years for petty crimes, a lot of them which weren't even, they were victimless crimes. And it's really sad, especially when you talk to some of these guys and how it completely ruins families, lives, marriages, relationships over one stupid decision. Don't get me wrong, there's consequences to everything. But, you know, because you stole a candy bar from a store, you're supposed to get 3 years for theft? I mean, give me a break. I mean, it gets absurd sometimes.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, I hired a man who worked as a maintenance person for us, and I'll never forget. I told him, I said, for one of my first questions, I always ask him, are you a convicted felon? If so, what's the convicted felony for? And he goes, I'm a convicted felon. I spent 5 years in prison. I said, what'd you do? He goes, I didn't pay my child support. Because I had a dispute with a woman I was never married to. She got pregnant once on purpose. I stayed with her. She got pregnant again on purpose. I didn't want any kids. And then finally, after she had two kids, she had a hook of me. We were in Kentucky. She filed for child support. And, you know, I left the state and went down to Florida. And they sent an entire, armed crew all the way down from Kentucky with U.S. Marshals to pick me up and to bring me back for a civil matter. I didn't have the money to pay it, so they ended up putting me in prison. Ended up spending 5 years in prison for not paying child support. And the crazy thing about all of this is, that's a civil issue. But because he didn't comply apparently with the court order, because he didn't have a job that could pay the retro child support, he ended up in jail. And my favorite is when they don't pay the child. And don't get me wrong, I don't like dirtbag dads that don't pay their child support. I think that's awful. I mean, that. Don't get me wrong, ladies, if you're listening, I think they're awful. Same thing with women when the husband gets the support. They don't want to pay the child support. I got that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you take somebody who's trying to earn a living and you take their driver's license away from them because of child support, then they get busted for driving without a license trying to go to work and they end up in prison because of that, this whole thing's screwed up. There's something wrong with all of this. I mean, then it's all back to the dissolution of the family unit and what's happened with the giant social welfare system in the United States, in which now you have to earn, what, $35,000 a year if you're a single parent in order to be able to get all the free stuff they're going to give you if you're a single woman or you're a single parent woman who basically has kids. It's nuts, Austin. Let me read you one more article. This is really important. Glyphosate. This is Roundup. When you have glyphosate in your food, and it basically binds up the nutrients. Let me read you what it says. It says, interestingly, if you do a tissue analysis of a genetically modified plant looking for micronutrients, the test may reveal that there are sufficient amounts of manganese and other minerals present. However, the tissue analysis will not tell you how much of the manganese is tied up and therefore made unavailable from the glyphosate to the plant. Moreover, if the minerals are bound to glyphosate in the plant, there is no way for your body to disassociate that bond to make the nutrients available when you eat it. Instead, these minerals will simply be excreted back out or worse, stored in your body right along with the poisonous glyphosate. In other words, when you take plants that have been sprayed before harvesting with glyphosate and you ingest it, the nutrient content of the plant is completely tied up and your body can't absorb the nutrients because they're bound to the glyphosate. So not only are you poisoned from the chemical, you don't get the nutrients from the food that were poisoned from the chemical. Is this nuts or what?
That's crazy. I did not know that. I knew as far as a lot of the toxicity issues with the glyphosate. But, I mean, that would explain more the reason why we talk to more and more people that are having all kinds of ailments, you know, when they're eating GMO foods. You know, the toxicity issue is one key spectrum to it now. But now if it's binding and tying up all the essential nutrients and elements that are in that food and they can't be utilized and they're bound to the glyphosate, which just produces more toxicity, I mean, that just answers a million questions right there as far as, especially with the colon problems and the digestive tract problems. Man.
Well, no, and think about it, because if you can't get the nutrients, all you're just getting poisoned with no nutrients.
Right, so you're basically starving yourself with chemicals.
Yeah, and basically you become the plant. The glyphosate not only kills the plant, it kills you. If you're eating the wheat kernel, it's in the wheat kernel, now you're making bread out of that, and you can't absorb the nutrients from the bread. And plus you're being poisoned by the glyphosate. I mean, this is nuts. This whole thing is nuts. And glyphosate is one of the most toxic products on the planet. Hundreds of millions of tons are sprayed globally yearly. We're poisoning the entire planet. And all these leaders getting all pissy pants about global warming, which doesn't even exist, okay? I guess I'm a climate change denier, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But the truth of the matter is, why don't we talk about what we're doing that we can prove with the glyphosate? And how it's damaging everybody. Why don't we talk about the real science here instead of all of this obfuscation trying to bring in carbon taxes? And the whole thing is nuts. I mean, Angela Merkel is in the middle of a fight for her life, literally about to have a civil war in Germany, and she's saying we have to learn to start working on global warming so we don't have more immigrant waves. What is she, brain dead? I mean, why is she saying stuff like that? Because she's doing obfuscation. These are Monica Lewinsky missiles. When Bill Clinton got caught with his pants zipped down with Monica Lewinsky and everybody was talking about what was going on with Monica, every time something hit the headlines, he'd throw another missile in Afghanistan to try to change the headlines. That's what this is. Obfuscation. The press does this. AP does this. Reuters does this. They all do this because they're trying to change the narrative of what's really going on because everybody's waking up. We all woke up in the middle of the night, or most of us are listening to this show, and all of a sudden some guy's in your room about to rob your wallet, and he got through your door and through your security, and you're wide awake looking at him with a double-barrel shotgun in his face saying, I don't think I'm going to let you do this to me right now. See, and that's what's happened. We have awakened. The masses have awakened. The New World Order is in full-blown panic because we've awakened, and they start to realize, wait a minute, this isn't such a good idea anymore. Let's go ahead and lie some more. And that's all this is about, Austin, the never-ending lies of what they want us to do. I mean, it's not the truth. It's just a lie all the time. It's the spun narrative. I remember the conspiracy theorist nonsense came from the CIA back in the 60s with the Kennedy assassination. Whenever somebody said the Kennedy was killed by the CIA, or the Kennedy was killed by the mafia, or the Kennedy was killed over the money, or the Kennedy was killed over Vietnam, it was always, oh, these are conspiracy theorists. They're all insane. They're all mentally ill. They're conspiracy theorists. And so Hillary Clinton, every time she gets caught with something, she goes, this is another conspiracy theorist. Because they've used that term now for over 50 years, and it's burned indelibly into the synapse of the American psyche. And the American psyche starts to think, as soon as they hear conspiracy theorists, the person's nuts. But that's changed because of the internet. Now when someone says something like, what happened to Building 7 with 9/11? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. BS, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Why don't you go watch the videos of the Building 7 falling down online? Tell me how that thing happened. All of a sudden they're going, well, wait a minute. We got to change the narrative. It's global warming. it's constant, Austin.
No, it is. Especially the global warming. It always seems to be it's either you're basically homophobe, or it's global warming. Or you're racist. It's
or
one
you're
of those
racist,
three.
That's right.
Yeah, that's generally what it goes down to. It's like, okay, well, if you don't like that, you're racist. Well, if you don't like that, you're homophobe. Well, if there's a problem with immigration, just don't worry about it. We got to worry about, you know, all the global warming. It's nonstop. That's why I tell people, don't even bother to turn on your TVs or CNN or any of that crap. If you're still getting news from those sources, man, it's time to put that area in your life to rest. There's no reason to put that propaganda, that rhetoric back in your brain. Just let it be. Get real news from us. Get real news from the internet while you still can. And understand that, I mean, all this stuff they keep pushing on us on the media is nothing but lies and obfuscation to try and deter you from finding the real truth of what's really going on. Everywhere in the world, it's like that.
That's right. In fact, I'll be back on with Dave Hodges. I'm doing the full thing about the whole thing, starting back with the Druids, Rome, first century church, everything happened through the Dark Ages, wizards and warlocks and witches. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about the Sabbatane Frankens, Kabbalists, what happened in the 1600s with the Sabbatane Levi. We're going to be doing all of that on Sunday night. Dave has asked me to go into detail with that. I did not have time last week, so we're going to do a full teaching on that with Dave Hodges this coming Sunday night. And so if you think 2 weeks ago with Dave Hodges was off the chain, this is going to be really off the chain. I could do it on our show, but I just soon do it on Dave Hodges' show and have you guys listen to that, because I have 2 hours that night to do it. And it's going to be a really, really informative show. I want you guys to make sure you tune in. Also, on the 20th this month, I'll be back on with Hagman again. And this time we're going to be talking about Morgellons disease and the fiber optic potential of the fungi they're putting in the chemtrails, apparently, or wherever it's coming from. And we're going to be going into a whole bunch of detail with that. And again, call us up, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, or if you want to call on the local line, it's 863-967-0244, 863-967-0244, but preferably go to healthmasters.com and find out the information that you need there, healthmasters.com, and thanks again for listening, guys. Any following stories you want to finish up with, Oz?
No, that'll be it. The Morgellons one will be interesting, because I've definitely been seeing more and more articles, especially one the other day, I think, on Stephen Quayle's site. It was talking about how they've been having these spider web like material that's falling out of the chemtrails. Not just the haze and the goo that they spray, but they're actually like spider web material that's coming down and landing on vehicles and houses and grass and everything else, and nobody knows what it is. And I think, like you said, you're going to tie up a lot of loose ends when you discuss that with Morgellons and what's really going on with that.
And let me go ahead and finish. We have one other lady here, because we got a couple minutes left. And this is her name's Lisa Papella from Spokane, Washington. And she actually wrote an article. She goes, she was talking about what happened to her when she basically was injected with the Gardasil shot. And she wrote, "When I originally wrote my Gardasil story as a cautionary tale for others, I thought the worst was over. I had battled for 6 years and was left with only periodic numbness and tingling in my hands to deal with at that point. I believed the worst was over and I could get on with my life. That was in October of 2013. In October 2014, the roller coaster ride began again. My hands became worse, tingling and numbness traveled to my legs. I would have moments of paralysis forcing me to rely on crutches to get around for a few days each month. My sleep patterns, it just goes off and on." Guys, listen to me. This is really, really important. Read more, just read Gardasil, just Google Gardasil horror stories of what they have done, toxic side effects, and you will be completely shocked at how bad this product is. And on top of everything else, it doesn't even prevent HPV. That's the nuttiest thing. It's just another way for the globalists to make money. Remember, they look at you like your cattle, like your sheep, like your animals to be harvested and sent to the slaughter. That's all they see you as. They see you as just livestock. And you have to understand that to understand their mindset. They see you as a bed of red ants, if you know what that is down here in South Florida, or army ants or soldier ants that you're trying to get rid of. They consider you to be mice that crawl into the corn bin. They consider you complete nuisance. They don't even want you here. They want to kill billions and billions of us to bring the population under a control amount. So the craziest thing is, the worst thing you can do is listen to CNN or the mainstream nauseating media. I call it the Communist News Network, the Constant Negative News Network, the Comedy News Network, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't make any difference. It's all obfuscated and it's all lies. And the reality is, the vast majority of the population is still getting their news from the mainstream media. But we are now reaching a tipping point of over 10 to 20, over 10% now have actually started getting their news from the alternative news sites, and we're starting to make a difference. We're starting to wake up the mass. The masses are starting to wake up and beginning to realize something's really, really wrong here. And if we don't change what we're doing, it's not going to get any better. So it's like I tell my folks, you know, on so many shows that I've done, if you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight and you feel awful, how bad does it have to get before you start making healthier choices? I mean, if you're going east on the interstate but you want to go west, you got to take the next off-ramp and you've got to go the other direction. The United States needs to take the off-ramp with the direction we're going in and restore the Republic and restore the Constitution. We've got to get the courts back in alignment with common law and make the people have rights again in the courts. We have to get rid of the prison industrial complex, and we've got to get rid of these wretched people in Congress that do nothing. Vote these incumbents out, get people in there who do what they say they're going to do, get the people in that say they're going to have reform and actually do it this time. The Tea Party was good back in 2010, but it's got to keep going, and we've got to figure out more and more ways to get Congress back to the we the people. Love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All new show tomorrow. God bless you. We appreciate your support.